Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by students at St. Andrew the Great Church, Cambridge. We hope you enjoy listening. Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Students at St. Andrew the Great podcast. I'm Adam and I've been in Cambridge for 1 year and I'm joined by Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I've just started as a student worker here at St. Andrew the Great. Before coming to Cambridge, I was up in St. Andrew's. I worked for a church up there. And before that, I was a student there as well.
Today, we're thinking about why bother going to church when you're at university.
But before we chat to you about why we think going to church as a student is important, earlier in the week, I caught up with Kai Zing to ask her why she prioritised coming to church as a student and to talk about how she's found it. So hello Kai Zing, and welcome to only the second ever Stag Students podcast. Thank you so much for coming to chat to me today. So in case anyone listening doesn't know ye, can you please tell us your stats?
Right, hello, I'm Kai Zing. I am a third year HSPS student from Emmanuel.
Great. Can you just tell us what HSPS stands for? Please.
Right, it stands for Human, Social and Political Science. So it's basically sociology, politics and anthropology in one gigantic mega subject.
Great, that sounds like a lot to study. There's so much in there. Kai Zing, you have been away from Cambridge now for a while. You've been back in Singapore over lockdown. What was the thing you missed most about Cambridge while you were away?
I missed the weather, which I know is kind of...
The weather?
Yeah, it was just kind of strange. I know most people are like, what? You missed the weather. But I like how cooling it was here in Cambridge. I really missed the camp and just how quiet it was in Cambridge.
Okay.
Compared to like city life in Singapore.
Yeah, wow. Good things to miss. I'm surprised by the weather. It's been so rainy recently. I didn't think anyone could miss
it's
that.
It's rainier in Singapore.
Wow. Okay, note to self. Take a good brolly if you go to Singapore. Okay, so over lockdown, one of the things that I really loved doing was cooking. And we made a big deal out of what we had for dinner on the weekends to try and keep things interesting. So I thought I would ask you some questions about food. If you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Wow, I think I would have to go with chicken rice, which is this Singaporean Malaysian dish where you cook the rice in chicken stock, and then you have this really amazing chili sauce on the side, and then of course there's chicken as well. So yeah, I would eat that.
Oh, that sounds really good. Okay, so chicken rice would be the go-to, the favourite thing. What is your idea of a food nightmare? What's your least favourite thing to eat?
Oh, I have this very weird thing that I can't eat anything that has milk that's in a main. So if anything that's milky but also savoury, so like carbonara is just really weird to me.
Okay.
Lasagna kind of is really strange to me.
Okay.
But I love it when it's in like a dessert. So like almond milk is great. Milk-based puddings are like wonderful for me.
Okay.
Just anything that's milk but hot is just... weird.
So any kind of cheesy sauces are out.
Yeah, but I can eat pizza though, which is kind of...
That's good to know.
Strange.
Okay, so milky sauces in savoury food are a no-no.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. Well, Kai Zing, you're here today not just to chat about your favourite food, as exciting as that is. You're here to talk to us about something even more exciting, and you're going to chat to us about church. So you're in third year now. You've been part of the church family here at Stag for a couple of years since you came. But did you go to church before you came to Cambridge?
Yeah, I did. So my parents were Christian, so I kind of grew up in church. So I've been in church all my life.
Okay, great. And what made you decide to come to church when you came to Cambridge then, if you weren't with your parents anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question. There was a lot of inertia about coming to church because, I mean, it's a new environment and stuff. And I've only ever been in one church, so being in a different one was kind of daunting. But I thought, you know, if I was going to survive 3 years in university, I needed to be really rooted in the Word, and I just needed to just connect myself to people here. So I guess that was kind of the reason why I thought, okay, it is daunting, but it's probably going to be worth it. So that's why I decided to go to church here.
Yeah, great. So prioritising hearing from God's words with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really great. So what's your favourite thing about church then? What keeps you coming?
Ooh, I have to say the people, I mean everyone in STAG is so lovely, is so welcoming, and I formed really good friendships in my first year in focus groups. So these were the people that would check up on me when I didn't come to church, and these were the people who would be praying for me, and I think just over time the relationships were the main reason why I stayed. That and like how solid the sermons are in STAG. Like I really love how, you know, everything is just kind of very thoroughly gone through in every sermon and in every talk. So those were the main reasons why I stayed.
Great. So people and Bible teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, Kaizing, do you have any advice for any freshers who are trying to figure out whether to come to church, whether that's something they should prioritise, or maybe for someone who's in second year or third year, they've come back to Cambridge and they're trying to figure out whether they should make church a priority this year? What would you say to them?
Ooh, I would say this year is kind of different from all the other years, given the fact that most of it is kind of online and requires a lot more, I guess, intentionality and effort to come to church. But I would say that it really is so worth it, especially in a time of, you know, the pandemic and all, and with school just being stressful as well. It's so important to remind ourselves of the greater and universal truths that don't change in the midst of everything that is changing right now. So I guess like a perspective of looking at that bigger picture might be helpful in encouraging us to go to church. And I guess don't be daunted by the new environment. Like everyone really is very, very nice. And yeah, we would love to have you if you're wondering about whether you want to come to church.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Yeah, like Kaizing said, we would love to meet you at church on Sunday. So come along and say hello. I'm sure Kaizing would love to say hello to you as well. Cool. Thanks, Kaizing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kaizing. But Sarah, what about you? Why did you bother going to church as a student? What do you like about church now?
Yeah, thanks. So when I got to uni, I knew that going to church was something I wanted to do, because that's just kind of what I enjoyed doing. I loved turning up to church, but I didn't really know very much about why I liked church or why it was a good thing to do. But I think since then, I've really come to understand that church is more than something I show up to, but it's something that I'm part of. So we often talk a lot about the church being a family or as being part of a family as Christians. But that's a really, really helpful way for us to think about church. And Paul uses the idea of family a lot to talk about church and to talk about God's people. So I thought it'd be helpful if we looked at Ephesians together. So in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about church in a really relational way. So firstly, he talks about church in terms of our relationship to God. So in Ephesians 2, verse 12, Paul is describing the Gentiles, so the people who weren't originally part of God's family. And he says that they were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of God's promises, without hope and without God in the world, which is a really bleak picture of what it's like to be without Jesus. But then he continues his thoughts in verse 14, and verse 13, and talks about how in Jesus, those who were once far away have been brought near by his blood, by Jesus' blood. And then he goes one step further to talk about how it's not just this relationship with us and God that's been fixed, but the relationship with other people has been fixed. So he talks about the wall of hostility, so the hostility that would have been between the Jews and the Gentiles has been destroyed. And then if you look on down to verse 19, he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." So that's two really miraculous things that Paul talks about to describe the church. People who are in relationship with God when they were once far away from him, but also people who are brought into relationship with each other when such things would have been unimaginable. So much bigger than what we see on a Sunday morning.
So I'm imagining Jesus has welcomed us in, he's saved us, and he's brought us into his house to this massive dining table where we're all sat around it with every other person who's ever trusted in Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's a really great image. So when we meet together on a Sunday in church, it's kind of like that. We're showing off that we are part of this household, that this family, that we've been brought into by Jesus. So if you look again at Ephesians 2, and we're being built together into a house, into somewhere that will become God's dwelling place. So that's verse 22. So as we get together, we show that we're part of this reconciled people. It's like that big dinner party. We show that we're all together. And so there's no such thing as being a solo Christian or a Christian without church. You just need to look at how Paul uses so many plurals to talk about the church. He's not addressing a single individual here, but he's addressing all of God's people together. And I don't know if you noticed, in verse 20, Paul talks about how being built together, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And so that makes a lot of sense of what we do when we get together as God's people. So we're not just getting together for dinner, but we're getting together to talk about God's word, the gospel, because that's what has brought us together. That's what's reconciled us to God and to one another. So when we get together as God's household, as his family, in church on a Sunday morning, or when we have focus on a Tuesday, we're wanting to get to know God better together. We're asking for his help to live in ways that please him. And we're showing off that we who were once enemies of God, who were far off and without hope, have been brought together with him, but also have been brought together with everyone else that has trusted in Jesus as well. And Paul prays in Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. I'm just going to read that because it's, yeah, I think it's great. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, that is God's, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell richly in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people," notice that that's a together thing, "to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So that's why we get together as church. That's what we're doing when we get together. We're together with all of God's holy people, trying to understand how wide and long and high and deep God's love for us is in Jesus. And we're celebrating what he's done in bringing us to him and bringing us together. It's just great. I love church.
Well, Sarah, if I wasn't persuaded already, you are certainly persuading me that being part of church is a pretty good thing. And that reading Ephesians is a pretty good thing to
Ephesians
do as well.
Ephesians is great. Big fan.
But if I was new to Cambridge or just thinking about kind of joining church, what should I expect? How do these things actually play out when we do gather together?
Yeah, great. So if you are thinking about coming to church at all, please do come along. I know it might seem a bit weird at the moment, but all of the things that we've just chatted about, so being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and talking about God's word together, still remain right at the centre of what we are trying to do as a church at St Andrew the Great. So if you do come along, you can expect a warm welcome. We've done everything we can to try and make things COVID secure right now, so everyone will be wearing masks. You'll be greeted by someone on the door wearing a visor who will give you some hand sanitizer and welcome you in. You'll also be able to hear some singing. So as a congregation, we can't sing at the moment, but we do have some lovely musicians who stand behind nice Perspex screens and sing and play for us to help us, again, to dwell in the truth of God's words. And we'll also read God's word, the Bible, together. That'll be displayed on screens for you so you can read the words. Someone will lead us in prayer as we talk to God, the one that we've been reconciled to. We'll hear a sermon, we'll be taught through God's word and what it says and how it applies to us to help us try and understand God's love for us in Jesus. And then if you're a student, if you come along to the 11:45, after church we have a student lunch, socially distant in groups of six, to continue chatting through what we've heard together that morning in church, and to continue building these relationships, because church is a together thing. It's not just about my solo relationship with God. So those are some of the things you can expect, and please do come along if you're listening and aren't sure what to make of church. We'd love to see you. But Adam, I've been chatting a lot. What do you like about church?
Sarah, I'm so glad you asked. There is so much I love about church. I love a lot of the things that you were just saying, that we get to sing and pray and hear from God's word together. I love just being amongst people who genuinely really love God and really love each other. I'm sure you can get that.
Yeah.
It is so good. Church is a friendly place, it's a rest and a place to celebrate together. And I think church makes me really thankful to God, and church makes me really see how wonderful God's salvation power is.
Interesting that you say that. Why does church make you see how wonderful God's saving power is? It's just a group of people in a room, Adam.
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, you spoke from Ephesians, so let me read a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 for us, which say, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow, that's not how I often think about church, that it shows off God's wisdom. That's really exciting.
Yeah. The church itself, I mean, it might look like some pretty ordinary people gathering together in a building on a Sunday a couple of times. But actually, the church is how God's wisdom is made known. The church, that's the people of God, is God's treasure. And it's like how he is kind of showing off. God loves the church so much. You've got to imagine, it's almost like a really proud dad at his daughter's talent show. He loves to see the church in showing off his wisdom. I think that would change a lot about how we think about church, right? I need help to see church more like that. That while the people you might see there are pretty ordinary, but they're a part of the family that God is building. They're a part of this group that he shows off to the world, that actually shows his manifold wisdom. And that church is showing what Jesus has accomplished. Do you see that in verse 11? According to his eternal purpose. It was always God's plan to bring the church into existence. It shows, like you were saying earlier, that we've been reconciled to God and we've been brought into this family of other people. The church actually is a diverse group of people who have been brought together. Mm-hmm. Not because of their own achievements or backgrounds or identities, but because Jesus has loved them, he's loved you, and put us together. And we all know him. And that's really good for us to remember, right? We'll be a lot better at loving one another as community. We'll be a lot better at celebrating in our differences and celebrating what God has done for us. And I think we can actually see that common unity amidst diversity in church now, both locally and globally. When you come to church at St. Andrew the Great, you're with different people. You're with people who are different to you. But you're also connected to this whole global family. You see, Jesus died to have the prize of the church. And the church existing now and coming together shows off the manifold wisdom of God. When I hear things like that, it can't help but feel like what a privilege it is to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's so exciting to think about what God has done, isn't it? And what we're part of. But Adam, help us to see this really practically. This is already wonderful and it's really big. But what does this mean for me on a Saturday evening when I'm thinking about what I'm going to do on a Sunday, or when I wake up on a Sunday morning? How will all of this help me to decide whether or not I should get up and come to church?
I think you've got to kind of flip around your thinking. So church isn't this thing that happens over there in a building, perhaps in the centre of town. Rather, church is something I'm already a part of. So if you're trusting in Jesus, you're already in the church. That's something you're saved into. Church isn't something you just attend or go to, but something you are a part of. So do go to it. You know, forget the saying, you are what you eat. How about a new saying, do what you already are. Be a part of church. Come along and get involved.
Yeah, that's so exciting, isn't it? So I guess what we're saying is we would love you to come along to church because that's who you are. And we recognise that just now, for some people, it won't be possible for them to get along to church in person. But we would encourage you to reach out to other Christians, to be using technology to keep in touch with them, to keep talking about the truths of God's word together, and do everything that you can to be who you are. Remember that you are part of the church. But if you are able to come along to church, please don't keep yourself at arm's length. It can be really tempting to just stay and watch the live stream because that's comfy and you can be on the sofa in your pyjamas. But it is really important that we are together, because church isn't just something that we watch or that we go to, but it's something that you are a part of if you're trusting in Jesus, if you've been reconciled to God. So I love church. I'm excited for church. I hope you are too.
As we're saying, if you are listening to this and think, oh, but I'm not actually a part of church, or I don't even really know what Jesus is doing or what this is all about, I say, the card of the outbox is still the same. Come to church. There's no better place for you to do that and find out about it. Sarah and I would love to see you there, and other people would too. You'd be so welcome to join us. But I hope you've enjoyed listening to this little podcast today. But just some questions for you to maybe think about or chat with others if you're listening along with other people. How about, what objections might people have to coming to church? What about, do you often feel excited about coming to church? Why or why not? And how does what we've chatted about now kind of change your thinking about church? I love being a part of church. I hope you've at least got some of our enthusiasm over the last 15 minutes or so. But I'd say I look forward to seeing you at church soon.